Shall we open our Bibles to the 5th chapter of the Gospel of John? Notice the first verse. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in a Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these laid a great multitude of infant folks, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the man answered, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk. What a great portion of God's word to think of the miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for this important man that we see in our lesson, because he is an important man. Not only an impotent man, but an important man, because he had the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But every one of us are important to the Savior. He would like to cleanse all of us of all our diseases, especially the sin disease. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you go to Jerusalem and you're there visiting the different places to go to the Pool of Bethesda. I'll never forget the time when I was there. We walked from the Wailing Wall. And as you walk from the Wailing Wall, you're walking towards St. Mary's Church, where they say the body of St. Mary's mother and father are buried beneath. I don't know if that's true or not. There's a lot of things over there you kind of have to take with a grain of salt. But anyway, it is a church where they say the body of Mary's mother and father are entombed there. Well, I wasn't too interested in St. Mary's Church, but I was interested to go to the Pool of Bethesda. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to think of this pool, because as you notice in that second verse, it says, Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool. Now, why does it bring out the sheep market? Sometimes we overlook that. Well, this pool was used to cleanse the sheep that went to market. And it was a very convenient place. We also notice that this thing had 5 porches on it. And when I went to the Pool of Bethesda, I was really moved by the beauty, and I couldn't help but think in my mind, I wonder what it was like when the Lord Jesus Christ was here. For you know, we're just seeing the ruins that are uncovered. They're digging and digging and digging, and they get down lower, and we might say, well, why do they find things that are buried, like the Pool of Bethesda and the Wailing Wall and other things? Well, beloved, over there, each generation after the destruction of Jerusalem and so on, they just filled in dirt and built again. And then the next time a war and a battle was brought, again it was another war, another battle of different ones coming over this great city of Jerusalem. And again they tore it down and put sand over and built over. And so now they're trying to dig down deep, deep into the soil. And my, what amazing things they're finding. The old Wailing Wall, where even you notice that so many times it's brought on our televisions that you see the Jews and the Gentiles alike, the Gentiles looking on and the Jews down there at the Wailing Wall, putting their prayers inside the Wailing Wall. And of course the Gentiles have come along from America, put on that little cap, and as they put on the cap, they go to the Wailing Wall and steal the prayers of the Jews out to keep it as a souvenir. Now, that's a shame on us. And the other night on television, when that man put that prayer inside the wall, I couldn't help but think, I wonder if some Gentile is going to come along again and steal his prayer. He has just been freed from Russia. The first place he wanted to go after he got home was to the Wailing Wall. Now, a lot of times people wonder why they're so interested in the Wailing Wall as they're praying that that mosque up above the Wailing Wall would come tumbling down, that they might build the temple once again, that they might have a place to worship their God and have a blood sacrifice and bring their sacrifice to the Lord God of heaven. Well, you notice here in our lesson, we see that there was a 5 porches, a beautiful place, no doubt that a lot of people wanted to come. But most people that were there weren't a very good class of citizen, you might say. It wasn't the wealthy, it was the poor. It was those that were in need, those that needed help. And everybody was waiting for one thing, the troubling of the water. When is the angel of the Lord going to come from heaven and trouble the water? And the first one that would get in would be healed. And they were all hoping, maybe waiting for weeks and months and years, waiting for the angel to come to trouble that water that they might be cured of their disease. You know, this man was there. He was looking for the troubling of the water that he might be healed. Anybody that's been sick knows what it's like to have somebody pray for you and you're just hoping that you'll be healed. This man wanted to be healed. He wanted to be healed of his body disease. But you know, it's a lot of people today are more interested in their body than they are their souls. They'll go to the doctor, they'll go to nurses, they'll go to the clinic, and they'll say, tell me what's wrong. But you know, they have very seldom come to a preacher to find out that they need help inside. We might be able to cure all the diseases in our body and live for 100, maybe 200 years. But beloved, it still isn't as long as eternity. And the thing that we need to have cleansed and cured is our soul, is our sin that so easily besets each one of us. But you notice, as it says in that verse, the folks that were there, they were blind, they were halt. They were waiting for the moving of the water. They were blind. The blind man could not see the pool. He could just be told, well, it's there. You're right beside it. I've brought you to the side of it. Now wait until you hear the trembling of the water and jump in so you get your eyesight back. The blind were there, notice. And then we noticed the halt were there. Different people waiting for the healing to come. They were looking for something. They wanted their own bodies healed. And so many times I've heard people say to me, please pray that I'll be healed. And you know, you say, well, shouldn't we pray if it be the Lord's will? Well, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this place of these people wanting to be healed. And here he meets this man that had been there such a long time. For notice in that fifth verse it says, And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. You know, that's just about the length of a life of a man, of his daily working, you might say. They say the lifespan of a man in his working years is about 40 years. We start usually about 20 and end usually around 60, 65. And about 40 years is our working life. This man had been there 38 years waiting for the troubling of the water. In other words, all the day life that he had lived for his working years was just about over, just 2 years left. And here he had been there all that time, and the Lord Jesus Christ took notice of him. 38 years. Reminds me of a man that was in prison. And they said for the last 25 years that he was in prison, and he'd been there for over 30 years, for he had a life sentence. And when he was there, just after the 25 years, that he had not one visitor come to see him. Not one postcard, not one letter for 25 years. Everybody had forgotten him, and he died alone without anybody remembering him. You know, that's a sad condition, isn't it? And that's the condition of this man. For notice what the Lord Jesus Christ said when he saw him lie. Notice the sixth verse. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there now a long time, in this case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The man answered him, sir, I have no man. I have no man. Beloved, what a helpless condition this man was in. He had nobody to help him. But how many of us who are sin sick have had many people, even friends maybe here at this chapel, have tried to help you to get your sins cleansed and be made whole? You can't say that you have no man. But this man had no man. He had no friends. And the hopeless thing that he says in the next verse, notice what he says. But while I am coming, another step is down before me. While I am coming, there's somebody else that gets the blessing. And you know, I have wondered about this very thing myself. How many times haven't we given the gospel? And somebody has come and stepped out for Jesus Christ, and we have waited. We have waited too long. We said, I'll get saved maybe the next time. the gospel is given, or I'll get saved. The next stanza, I'll step out, and then all of a sudden the song leader closes his book and says, let's pray. And we've waited too long. How many individuals said, I'm going to get saved, but I'm going to get saved when I'm a little bit older. I'm going to get saved, but not tonight. I'll get saved, and I know I need to be saved, but I'll get saved before I die. And then the preacher has to stand up before a casket and say, oh, I wish he'd been saved. He waited too long. It wasn't the case of this man. He just had nobody to help him. He couldn't get in himself because he was just laying there helplessly, hoping and no doubt very near to the edge of the pool. No doubt he had said to people in these 38 years, put me as close as you can. And there he lay day after day after day, just waiting, waiting for the troubling of the water by the angel of God that would come down. And he waited for this great blessing that one day he'd be healed. And when the angel would come and the water would be troubled, before he could roll over, before he could get in, somebody else stepped in and received the blessing. Aren't you glad it's not that way for salvation? That the Lord Jesus Christ gives it to whosoever will, may come. Each one of us are able to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and get cleansed. This man needed help. He wanted help. But there was nobody to help him. No man. You know, when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ and His greatness, I want us to turn to the 12th chapter of the book of, second chapter and the first verse, Mark the second chapter and the first verse. And I want you to notice a verse of scripture here, what it says in this chapter, Mark 2 and verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. It was noise that he was in the house. You know, it was a nice thing when you know the Lord Jesus Christ is in the house. When he's there, you know there's going to be a blessing. They noised it abroad that he was in the house. The Lord Jesus Christ is at the pool of Bethesda. He's here. But Lord, I have no man to help me. All came when the Lord Jesus Christ was there. But you know, isn't it a wonderful thing to know, saints of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is here with us this morning? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. That he never leaves us alone. He's always there. It's a wonderful thing to be saved and born again and know the Holy Spirit takes with his residence within us. And not only that, that the Lord Jesus Christ is there to comfort us. For he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He'll always be there. He's one that sticketh closer than a brother. But yet this man had no man. No man to help him. Isn't it wonderful when you can call somebody on the phone and you say, I need help. And not to hear them say, brother, you know, I'm busy right now. Have you ever been in a desperate need and you needed help and you called somebody, a friend, and you said, you know, I really need help. Could you just come right now? Well, brother, you know, I've got something else to do and I just can't help you now. You know, beloved, what it is when a man calls for help. Help me, put me into the water. I want to be healed that I might be like the rest of the people. The angel's been here, but then somebody stepped in before. What a hopeless, helpless condition. You know, that's the way it is of a sinner when he gets saved, that he comes to the end of himself and says, you know, people have been talking to me and they've been trying to help me, but I'm still not saved. Well, you have to come to the end of yourself before you can get saved. You got to get right down into the depths of sin and see that you're sinking for the last time. And when you do, then you can raise that hand and say, help, and the Lord will help. Remember Peter? Peter was there walking on the water towards the Lord, and he took his eyes off the Lord and he started sinking. He said, help. And the Lord reached forth his hand. He said, oh, ye of little faith. Beloved, before Peter could really see the Lord and the glory of the Lord, he had to sink. And sometimes we as individuals, before we can get help from God, we have to come to the end of ourselves to quit trying to help ourselves and let God do it for us. Could we turn to a verse of scripture in Romans? And this is so plain and so many times we overlook it. Romans, the 4th chapter and the 5th verse. Notice what it says. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. But to him that worketh not, This man couldn't work to get into the water. He couldn't pay to get into the water. Because there was always somebody else getting the blessing before him. But notice, but to him that worketh not but believeth. You know, that's the way of salvation. You can't work to be saved. It's a gift. God says if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll cleanse you and make you whole. But if you don't accept it, there's no salvation for you. And so many people are trying to work. They say, well, I'll clean up my life. I'll get rid of my drinking. I'll get rid of my gambling. I'll get rid of my wife beating. I'll turn over a new leaf. But beloved, that's still not any help. I'll never forget praying with a fellow down in Skid Row one night. He came forward to be saved and accepted the Lord. He got down on his knees and he inquired, oh God, try to make me a better husband. Try to make me a better daddy. Oh, I said, stop your prayer. He looked at me, opened his eyes, looked at me, tear streamed. What's the matter, preacher? I said, why don't you get down to business and tell the Lord what you told me? What did I tell you? You were a sinner and you needed to be saved. I said, look, you can turn over 1,000 new leaves and it won't do you one good until you come to the end of yourself and say, oh Lord, I'm a sinner and I need you to help me. You see, this man knew his condition. He had no man to help him. He was hopeless in despair. He was just looking at it, no hope for me, because every time I've tried for 38 years, somebody else has gotten a blessing. Have you tried for 38 years to be saved and you're still not saved? Well, beloved, quit trying and let the Lord do the healing. It's the one that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, Lord, I can't do anything to be saved. I'm just helpless, I'm hopeless, I'm lost. And if you don't help me, Lord, who will? You know, that's when the Lord does the work. When I came to the end of myself, now I was a self-righteous individual, you know, just a little boy. But you know, I had to come to the end of myself. Turn the tape over, please. Thank you. I thought, oh, if I could only be like Preacher Prince, who was a pastor of Bethesda Church in Minneapolis. If I could be like him, I'd be saved. No, that wouldn't save me. If I could only be like Dr. Charles E. Fuller, then I'd be saved. And I thought, oh, God, if you could only make me Charles E. Fuller, then I'd go to heaven. But I could be made Charles E. Fuller, but I wouldn't have gone to heaven. Beloved, you're saved when you come to the end of yourself. When you realize your condition is hopeless and helpless as far as human reasoning is concerned, and that's the way it was with this man. He realized his condition that he had no hope and no man to help. You know, as you go into the verse, notice what the Lord says to him. But while I am coming, he says in that seventh verse, another step is down before me. Jesus said unto him, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. You know, as you go into this portion, you see here the Lord selected one person. He selected one person out of all of them. No doubt the worst case. All of those that were around that pool could have been healed. But here was one man that had no one to help. That's the kind the Lord helps. You see, the others that were around the pool, those that were halt, and those were blind, and no doubt those that were lame, and those that needed their leprosy cleansed, and other diseases that were there, they no doubt had friends to help them. And they were all watching the water to see when the angel of the Lord was going to trouble it. And they were ready for their friends to be pushed into the water to get healed. But this man had no man. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord helps those that have no one else to help them? That the Lord will reach down and touch their heart. Here he made a decision. He chose the man. He could have chosen everyone there. I want us to turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew for a moment. And notice what it brings here in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. A verse that no doubt we're all very familiar with, the 15th verse. In the 12th chapter of Matthew, in the 15th verse, it says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Beloved, why didn't he heal them all at the pool of Bethesda? Because they weren't ready to be healed. And they weren't looking for somebody to help. You know, they wanted the healing, but they wanted it in their way. The Lord Jesus Christ walked away from that pool, and there he left a lot, no doubt, not healed. But he healed one man, and that man said, I have no man. The rest could have been healed. And friends, isn't it amazing when you can be in a gospel series of meetings and see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ and hear the Lord touch his hearts, as even we heard from Spanish Well, from Brother Ludi Neely at the conference. He mentioned to us how there has been a blessing there and people have been saved and have been wicked people and they've come to the Lord, and yet still there's some there that aren't saved and converted, and the blessing is all around them, and yet they don't enter into the blessing. Here these people saw, no doubt, this man healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, wait, that man's been there for 38 years. And look at the Lord said, take up your bed and walk. How can he do it, Lord? He's been there for 38 years. How can you get saved when you've been in sin for 38 years or 50 years or even 100 years if a man would live so long? How can you be cured after a disease in your body so long? It's because the one who cures you is the one that made the soul. The one that knows the infinite part of every one of us, that he could come to that person and cleanse them of their sins. Here, this man needed to be cured of his disease. He had laid there for 38 years. But you know what Jesus said? Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. We would think it was some spectacular thing that was going to happen, that the Lord wouldn't do that. He would go over in some kind of motions and try to heal his body and rub his hands off. But in this case, he didn't. But you know, when you come to the blind man, he stoops down and he spits on the ground and he makes a spittle of clay there. No doubt he makes the little eyeball and he takes it to the blind man and he puts it in the socket, and there the man that is born blind sees. But the Lord Jesus Christ had to make the eyeball. He had to make the eyelids open up so he could put the eyeball in it. A miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ did. But here all he says is, take up thy bed and walk. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't save in the same way? You know, I'm so amazed when I preached how the Lord Jesus Christ touches people's hearts. They might be the deepest, darkest, reddest sinner in the world. You know, we always say sin's black, but the Bible says it's red as crimson. You know, we might be guilty with all the sins, and the Lord Jesus Christ saves that one. And here's a self-righteous person. They're so self-righteous, they're like Nicodemus, and they don't think they need to be born again. Isn't there a wonderful thing to see in the third chapter of John, as we pointed when we were out on that scripture, that the Lord Jesus Christ did not have the third chapter of John in the fourth chapter, we'd all say we'd understand it, because the woman at the well needed to be saved, and we'd say she's a harlot, she needs to be saved. But he didn't give the new birth to the woman at the well or the thief on the cross. He gave it to the most religious man in the world. And every one of us, though we be religious, we need to be born into the family of God. You know, so many people are missing God's blessing. Here the people could see at this great pool the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ healing the man. The man picking up his bed after the Lord talked. How's he doing it? How could he do that when he's been laid there for 38 years? He hasn't been able to move. And yet now he's moving, he's doing just at the word of the Lord. Well, isn't that the way the Lord cleanses sins today? Thy sins be forgiven thee. Go and sin no more. The secret of the new converted individual is his sins are taken away, and he has a power within him to say no to sin. But beloved, a person that's not converted, they can't say no to sin. I've heard a lot of people say, I'd get saved, but I can't hold out. And I say, that's right, you can't. You know that, preacher, I can't hold out. I'm glad you know I can't hold out. That's why I'm not saved. I said, no, I know that. You can't hold out. But it's not you holding. It's the Lord Jesus Christ doing the holding. Aren't you glad of that? It's not you that's holding yourself for salvation. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, that holds us and keeps us. I'm glad it's not up to me. I would have been lost many years ago. I never held out. But he's holding. I read something at Brother Edgar's house last night about the Franklin D. Roosevelt ship. It tells there of a time when they were coming into port, that one of the planes that was coming in missed. It was a rough sea, and he missed, and he went in, and all the sailors were on the outside yelling and telling the helicopters where he was, and he went to rescue him. And And they saw the man's head bob up. And they said, there he is, get him, you know, get the man. And the ship, they let down the rope and he grabbed a hold of it. And they were pulling him out and they all thought he was safe. But as they were pulling him out, his parachute was still on him and was filled full of water. And he was getting up closer to the helicopter. But then the propellers of the helicopter grabbed a hold of that air chute and let all the water go out. The man was tangled in his parachute. Another man went down to free him. When he went down to free him, he started cutting the line loose of the parachute. But the wind and the waves got a hold of him again and drew him together. And there the man went down. Both of them, but they didn't save him. They wanted to save the two men, but they weren't able. But you know, as it points out, the Lord Jesus Christ never loses one. They were all sad on that ship because they lost two men, not just one. One trying to save the other, but they weren't able to save. But you know, my Savior, as it says in that story, my Savior saves to the uttermost. Here he is, a man that needs help and cleansing, and no man is able to help him, but the Lord Jesus Christ is there. Aren't you glad for the Lord Jesus that he can save to the uttermost? That friends, if you're without the Savior here this morning, no matter what you have done, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to remove every sin because he became your sin offering for you. Why is he able to save? Because he paid our debt of sin. He took my place of guilt. He went to the cross of Calvary and died for a person like me. And when I think of that, how could the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, die for a sinner like me? Though I was a self-righteous sinner, I was still a sinner. I was still bound for the lake of fire. You know, so many times people think, only God saves the wicked of sinners. But I'm glad that he doesn't save just the wicked of sinners. I'm glad he saves a person like me. You know, a lot of people have a glowing testimony of what they have done in sin and shame. And they can tell about all this and the Lord saved them from it. And they love the Lord a lot. But then comes a person like myself that was raised in a Sunday school in a church, always patted on the head, saying, such a good boy. The worst thing I probably ever did before I was saved was smoke a cigarette, cigarette butts, picking them off the ground. The next worst thing was stealing green apples. Big sinner. But you know, beloved, it was bad in God's sight. I was just as guilty and would have gone just as far to the lake of fire as the harlot or as a murderer or as a thief because my sins were separating me from God. You might be a self-righteous sinner like I was, but you're still a sinner. You might be a sinner that's deep down in sin, but you're still a sinner. We all need to be cleansed in the same manner. We all need that same sacrifice. You notice they were at the sheep market, a pool where the sheep were cleansed, but we need to come to a pool to get our sins cleansed. You see, these sheep were used also for offerings and for sacrifice for God. But remember, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself as the Lamb of God without spot and blemish. He was not sinful. He had no sins of his own. But he took our place as a little lamb, and I almost brought it out this morning at the Lord's Supper. The greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the greatness of the tabernacle of old when a priest went into the holy place, he went in alone, it says. He went in alone. And I started to think of how the Lord Jesus Christ bore my sins in his body alone. Peter says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But yet when it came to the cross, where was Peter? I will say this for Peter. He was standing by the fire getting warm. But you know, the book of Matthew says in the 26th chapter, all forsook him and fled. He was left alone. Why was he alone? And you know, beloved, he had no man to help him. This man had no man to help him. But there was never anybody to come to the side of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I'll help you, Lord Jesus. I'll help you. Why? Because he had to go alone. Because he was the only one righteous to bear the sins of the world. In that same chapter in the book of Leviticus, the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus, you will find in that chapter it says that after he had made an atonement for the people by the sacrifice of the blood of the animal, he took the blood of the animals and he put it on the four horns of the altars. And then he confessed the sins of Israel, it says, on the head of the animal. And the next verse says, and it was led out by a fit man. Who was the fit man? Beloved, isn't it a great thing that any man that is cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ is a fit man? Anybody in the congregation of Israel that they could have led him out into the wilderness, they could have said, Jim, if I would have been there, take this animal and lead it out. And though I had sinned during the week, they had confessed my sins and the children of Israel's sins on the head of that animal, and I could have led that animal out. I said, well, I'm taking him out into the wilderness. One animal had to die, but the other animal bore the sins on his head of the nation of Israel. They had to have two animals to typify the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ was going to bear the sins in his own body on a tree, but on the third day he would rise again, a resurrected one without the sins. He would take them away as far as the east is from the west, as far as the heavens are above the earth, so far as he removed our transgressions. And friend, this morning it's a wonderful thing to say that the Lord Jesus Christ can remove your sins. Have you been healed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to the place to say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need help. I have no man outside of Thee, Lord Jesus. I have no one that's trying to save me, but I have You. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Notice in the next verse, and immediately. I like that. And immediately the man was made whole. You know, it's a great thing preaching the gospel. You look out there, maybe there's somebody that says, Lord, save me. And immediately, you can't tell when a person is saved. I've sat down with the Word of God with somebody and pointed out, and they said, well, you don't have to go any further. I said, what do you mean? I see it now. Once I was blind, but now I see. Beloved, it's a wonderful thing when a man comes to the place and says, I know I've been saved. Somebody sitting right in the audience would come down and say, you know, preacher, I got saved when you were preaching. Immediately. It wasn't a progress of time. It's immediate. If you want immediate salvation, we have all kinds of instant things today. But the greatest instant thing that's been around the world all over is instant salvation. Whosoever believeth. It's accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be saved right where you sit. If you notice your condition, you're in that need. You need your sins forgiven. You need your life cleansed. Nobody's been able to help you. You can't help yourself. You see the helplessness of this man. He couldn't help himself. You can't help yourself to Christ either. But you just can come. You have 2 feet to come. You can say in your mind, I come. The Lord Jesus says, come. He asks us to come to Him. Maybe there's one here this morning that would like to be saved. You've looked at the need of your life. You're hopeless. You're helpless. You've wanted to be saved for a long time, but you're still not saved. The water's been troubled. People have been saved around you, but it's always bypassed you, but it doesn't need you this morning. Will you step in and get your feet wet, so to speak? Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I'm coming in faith? I want to be saved today. Maybe there's one that would like to trust the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. What did He do for you? He died for you. He bore in His body our sins. And this morning you can go free if you will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Shall we bow in a word of prayer? Maybe there's one here that would like to be saved today. Maybe you'd like to come to Him and own up that you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Can you come to Him? It's simple, friends. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call? Or will you say, Lord, I have no man, but You do have a man. You have the man of Calvary. Saying, I want to save you. Will you come? Do you want to be healed? He asked the man, do you want? I have no man. He said, take up thy bed and walk. But there was a man. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's a man here this morning that will cleanse you of your sins, the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you call upon Him? Father, Maybe there is one here without the Savior. Maybe there's one here that needs to be saved desperately. They've heard the gospel for many days. They know it very well. They're like this man for 38 years. He knew that it was a miracle and a moving of the water, but he never entered into it. And Father, maybe there's one here that knows that God can save, but they've never taken a step. May their pride be broken down this morning. May they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Speak to us through the invitation we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we turn in our hymn books to number 226? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Is there one here that needs to come? You need your heart cleansed? Why don't you come this morning as we sing this, Just As I Am. Shall we stand? Slip out of that seat and come. I'll be the first one down here.